Hi, everyone, and welcome back to episode 13 of the Wow Pod. I can't believe we are already here and that I'm also ending season one this week. It's been an incredible 13 weeks, to say the least, and I have learned so much about small business, women in different industries, and the real importance of sharing our stories. I've learned so many things about the similarities that connect us, and I've also learned so much about myself over the last 3 months. And just in case you are tuning in for the first time, which, look, some people do at this point, the Wow Pod stands for Women Out West and Women of Worth. And this podcast is a place to share unique stories of rural women in rural-based businesses whilst amplifying women's voices and connecting women through their business, passions, stories, challenges and successes, and bringing a focus to small business in rural Australia. I am your host, Sig Peters, and I just wanted to take this moment to thank all the listeners who have been tuning in over the past 13 weeks. Week in, week out, to this little heart-centered podcast of mine. I am so grateful for your time and the interest you have shown this podcast. I am blown away by your support and the willingness to value storytelling and the incredible impact it can have on our lives. I also just want to thank everyone who has reached out to me to let me know your thoughts on the podcast so far. I am so full of love and kindness, so thanks to your reviews and feedback, it really does mean the world to me. If you haven't already, once you've finished here today on the last episode of season one, I would love for you to write me a review. So jump over to either the Apple Podcast or Instagram or Facebook and let me know how you found the first season. Or flick me a DM if that's more your style too. I'd love to know what it was that you enjoyed about season one. This podcast, maybe about your host, and what you took away from it. Did you enjoy the content? What did you want to know more about when I was interviewing rural women? It's all welcome, and I thank you in advance for letting me know. It's extremely helpful in coming back fresh and ready for season two, which will be coming out later in the year, I do promise. I've already started work on season two, and it's shaping up to be a goodie. So today's episode of the Wow Pod is a special one for me, as I'll be jumping in today to talk about what I do in my business, The Pink Galah, my reasons, my why, and all the juicy bits in between. I'll be answering the same questions I have hit these ladies up with over the last 13 weeks, and we'll see how well I do in answering these questions today, which I honestly don't know if I'm going to do as good as the rest of the girls who've been on the podcast so far. Today, I'll also be discussing the Wow Pod and how this idea came about, why it's so important to me, my experience with being a podcaster so far, and what I've learned over the last 13 weeks. Also, discussing my findings, like similarities between the women I've interviewed and an overall conclusion to this experience. So this is your cue. Go turn the kettle on, make a cuppa, sit somewhere comfy and get ready to have a yarn about all things The Pink Galah, my story and my journey into podcasting with the Wow Pod. So let's start at the beginning. I'm just going to take a big breath because there's a lot to get through here and I'm already very mindful of your time today. So like I do in any other interview and every time I kick off an interview really, I like to discuss the why for business. So my why for The Pink Galah, if you don't know what my business is, I probably should catch you up pretty quick, but The Pink Galah is a vibrant rural business celebrating the power of art to bring people together and brighten up rural communities. My mission with this business is to foster connection, creativity, community and well-being across rural communities, and my why comes from that directly. I believe in the power of art to enhance people's lives. I've done it with my own, and so I'm living proof. The workshops at The Pink Galah are not only fun, colourful and community-minded, they're all about creating opportunities for individuals in rural areas to come together, explore their creative side whilst relaxing in a social atmosphere, ticking all of the boxes when it comes to taking five and looking after our own well-being. At its core, my business, The Pink Galah, is creativity, connection and community, and these are the three pillars I started with and have stuck with over the last 3 years of my business. My why comes from these three pillars, and I probably should add that I thought about this business 9 years ago, like as in I started in 2020, so 9 years prior to 2020, I actually had this idea. So in all honesty, my why came from a bit of a selfish need. I wanted to meet people and I wanted to connect and I wanted to find like-minded people. I was finding there was no setting in my rural community that could give me the in-depth connection that I was longing for, like looking for or longing to find. If you haven't noticed by now, surface level stuff just isn't my jam and I struggle with it. And when I make a new friend, we pretty much go from knowing nothing about each other to knowing everything pretty quick. I want to know about you. I want to know about your life, the person you are and what makes you excited. And that's just because I crave connection and I'm wired that way. I actually can't help it. And I believe many of us are. So like sitting at a pub and eating a schnitzel and having a beer, watching the footy doesn't really quite allow for connection to occur and it's mostly just surface level stuff. I give that example because most of the time we connect, the way that we connect with others is just by going out, eating or drinking, and it's just not for me. Nothing against it if that's your thing, it's just not mine. And don't get me wrong, if there's a dance floor, I'm so there. But I wanted to create another outlet for people in my community, something I was craving, something that just didn't exist in rural communities. I thought if I was craving this, maybe others must be too, like surely I'm not alone. So my why came back to that. And after having kids, I was pretty alone most of the time. Becoming a mum can be extremely isolating. Like I know you with little children all the time, but it's isolating in the sense you don't have any adults around you and you're alone. You're kind of like stuck in kids' routines and doing things for the kids. And it's just hard to meet people and it's hard to connect with people when you're kind of like in that very new mum bubble. It can be really tough to find your people. And after having my first child, I found it really hard to enter the world again as this newfound me, you know, a mum and try and find my people. So fast forward another 5 years after my first being born, I now have 4 kids, and that's 4 boys to be exact. The pink glass started after my 3rd boy being born, and it was weird actually and probably a little bit woo-woo, but when I was pregnant with my 3rd son, I just knew it was time to finally let the idea I had 9 years ago happen. Like it was just time. I was kind of in a bit of a stressful job at that point in my life too. I was working as a co-assistant principal at my local school, and so I was juggling that job and being a mum and starting a new business when everything kicked off. But I knew I was going to need to start this passion project of mine, the pink color, after my 3rd baby. Just as a way to come back to myself, my passions, and be able to find connection. So I launched the business when my 3rd baby was actually 5 months old, and I was just, I'm not kidding, I was a month off returning to my normal job as a co-assistant principal at my local school. So it was crazy, and I was probably running on a little bit of adrenaline there for a long time. At the end of 2020, I gave up my co-assistant principal role and actually took like all of 2021 off teaching just to focus on my kids and my business and just allowing for more flexibility for my family and my creative expressions. I also fell pregnant with my 4th baby in 2021, and he was born in November of that end of that year. So I really needed to just focus in on my family, and being able to follow my passions and creating something just for me was what I was doing with the pink galah and having kids. So this is a big why, and I do apologize, but I just wanted you to get the full picture today. So overall, my why was for me, but then it quickly evolved. The pink galah has given me so much happiness, purpose, enjoyment, fulfillment, and creative expression, all the while being able to support others, connect others, give others joy, and foster a creative community out here in the far west of New South Wales and spread the love to other rural communities too. My why now is different to when I first started. So my why when I started was very predominantly for myself, you know, looking for connection, looking to express myself creatively, looking to like kind of like change the culture a little bit in where I live. And now it's changed to, you know, to provide an experience that fosters connections that last a lifetime, you know, to bring joy and enthusiasm in what I do for the people who attend and just to make people feel good. And this is my why now, 3 years later. My why also does come back to the fact that I have four small humans and I wanted to create a job for myself that I could do around my family that also hits all the right buttons in filling my own cup up so I could show up for my boys the best way that I could. I don't have childcare, and this is a question I get asked all the time. I don't have childcare. These boys of mine have been by my side every step of the way over the last 3 years, and I have made it work. Look, it's been bloody tough at times throughout. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to say I'm some sort of superhuman, because I'm definitely not. But what you see today with the Pink Galah has taken exactly that. 3 years of love, dedication, commitment, and time with and away from my family to be where I am. So I wouldn't change a thing, but yeah, it's been a journey, which I look, that's the whole fun of it. It's just been so much fun. The next question I usually ask women is, what motivated you to start and how did you start? So what motivated me was my creative practice, actually. I knew how important it was for me to set some time aside for using my hands creatively. I always felt better. Like once I'd done it, I'd always felt better. And this is something I wanted to share with others. When you do something just for you, like using your hands, the overflow of filling your own cup pours into the love, you know, to pours more love into relationships with your family, your kids, and your friendships. And knowing how special it was to have a creative practice actually motivated me to start this business, because I wanted to gift it to as many people as possible through the Pink Galah. I wanted to give people the space to be themselves and take five away from the to-do list of the day. So it's so important, you know, just taking a breather, even if it's just for a few hours in a workshop. The benefits certainly outweigh anything else when it comes to what I do. And how did I actually start it all? Well, before I could actually hold my first class, I needed to do a lot of research about the resources I would need to start, the products I would need, what kind of cash flow I would need to start, because when starting, you're actually out of pocket. So you're starting from scratch. No one told me what resources I would need. I had zero guidance and I just figured it out on my own. A little bit of trial and error as well. I actually think this is a blessing in disguise now. I used to think back and think, geez, it would have been nice to have a mentor or somebody just to guide me in the direction. But I think it's a blessing in disguise that I've figured this out on my own, because what I have created is just from my own mind, the way I do things, the products and the setup and just how I think it should be. I'm going to let you in on a really, this is a big one, but I'm going to let you in on a really big secret in my business. I have never attended a paint and sip myself. Ever. And I used to be really ashamed of this fact. Like people would say to me, oh, you're so different to, you know, I went to a paint and sip, blah, blah, blah here. And you're just so different to that. And I go, oh, okay, in what ways? Because I was so curious. I've never been to someone else's paint and sip. I've never taken a class that in the same field as mine. But now I think it's my superpower, because at first I thought I should attend someone else's version of a paint and sip to sort of get a feel of how others do things. But then I decided not to. And do you know why? Because I wanted this business to just be authentically me. Will I attend one someday? I don't know, maybe. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure. But I know that what I do is originally me. So the way that I do this job, the way that I run my business is just how I think it should be. And that honestly helps me sleep at night, because my conscience is clear. Like it's just, this is me. I'm running it how I want to do it. No guidance, no examples. The Pink Galah is just how I want to run things and teach within a workshop. I don't tell many people that secret, so keep it to yourself. Before I started, I also sat down and worked out how I wanted to teach these sessions. So like what my goal was, how I would break it down to make it possible for everyone to walk out of my workshop holding something they could be proud of, and the types of artworks I wanted to create just to start with, you know, get a feel for it all. So once I guess I figured out all the logistics of it, I had to work out how I could let people know in my community I was starting this and how they could purchase a ticket. I also rounded up some girlfriends and hosted a paint and sip just for them, my friends Kate and Ange, and we ended up meeting in an Airbnb in Dubbo, which is 3 hours drive from me, as we all live in different locations. And I just brought all my equipment with me so I could do a little test run with them. And I knew these girls, especially these two girls, would give me some honest feedback. And so I did a test class with them. When I got home, I then invited my school colleagues to a paint and sip, like a private one, just so I could tease everything out again. And I did this at a discounted rate as they were my guinea pigs. It turned out to be such a fun night and I'm so grateful for that group of women who just, we'll jump in, we'll have a go, and just gave me a chance in the beginning. And same with when I finally did actually launch and ran my first public class. I'm so grateful to those women because they jumped in without knowing what I was about to do and just trusted me to provide them with a fun night. So I just, those early days will always stick with me, and I haven't forgotten the people who purchased tickets to my first ever workshop in my community. They are still my regulars. I still have lots of the women that were there that first night are my regulars, and they honestly have become like family. Like I see them often and it's just such a beautiful relationship. Did I have any doubts or fears going into this business? Oh God, yeah, like so many. I usually vented my fears, and I still do, my fears and my doubts onto my husband, who quickly told me that those fears and doubts are good things. Like if you are going into something new and you've got full confidence, it's probably not a good sign. It's always a good sign to sort of second guess and rethink and reevaluate and just sort of have that nervousness that makes you perform better. So he always just was like, just give it a crack. But I need to add though that when I first told my husband about my idea now 12 years ago, because we're talking now 2023, so 12 years ago, he actually shot it down and said, Sig, don't start this. Like no way will people come. We live in Cobar. Like people don't want to come to that sort of stuff out here. It's just not something I see fitting in the community. And now he's my biggest supporter, by the way, because I have to add this. He'd be so sad if I didn't let you know that. When I actually first started the biz though, not just share my ideas with him, my husband did always tell me that if it didn't work out, I'd have plenty of art equipment to use for my personal art practice. So I just jumped in, even if it meant I was out of pocket. You just have to start somewhere. If I had to label though what the fears and doubts were, I would probably just say my biggest one was, one, they won't come. Like people won't come or understand that it's for everyone and everyone is welcome. And my second one was people will come, but they won't like it. And after about my fifth workshop, I quickly learned that something pretty special was happening and those fears quickly dropped off, which is so good because, yeah, you need to know, and you're not going to know until you do try. So what advice would I give someone who wants to start their own business? I've heard this a lot over the last 13 weeks in interviewing women, and it's just a common theme, honestly, to this question, but it is so true. And it's just start. You're going to learn so much and you'll learn pretty quickly if it's for you or not. Like just start small. I didn't have the equipment I have now. It looks quite different to how I started, but I bought what I could afford and I just held smaller classes and just kept rolling from there. A big class for me when I first started the Pink Galah was about 22 people. This was probably a max. Like I felt very maxed out, you know, giving my attention and time to 22 people, like really making sure that they knew that I was there for them and to guide them. And 22 people for me back then at the very beginning was a lot of people. And look, now I host up to about maybe 40 people comfortably that I know that I can give my attention to. And honestly, 40 people in one room is just such an energy, and it gets me buzzing. And I think I probably teach better too when I've got lots of people in the room because I'm buzzing off their energy as well and the fun of the class. So what does a normal business day look like for me? There's two parts to this answer, and that's because in this business there's a lot more hours of back-end work than actually standing in front of people and doing a workshop. During the week, you'll find me working around the kids. I do two different school drop-offs on a Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, and then I'm back on the farm after to play with kids, feed animals, do housework and blah, 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 you know. I then work on my business most days when the kids are asleep. So I do admin like, you know, replying to inquiries, creating invoices for workshops, back-end website things, I don't know, content creation, ad design, art design for workshops, art commissions on the side that I do for people, mural designs, which I'm currently doing at the moment, ordering stock for the Pink Galah. I obviously don't do all of these things every day when I'm doing at-home work days. Each day is different and I just tackle what I need to do in that moment to keep things working because you just can't do it all. So I just kind of like prioritize what I need to do, and then everything else just kind of has to wait sometimes. On a workshop day, you'll find me at my studio if it's a local workshop, setting up in my studio in Cobar, like putting all the art supplies and on the tables and cleaning and making sure I have my breakdown of step-by-step guidance for the workshop, which I actually just do in my head. I know that sounds really weird, but I can remember each step like visual memory when I create something. So it saves me so much time because I don't teach from notes or prompts. It's literally just in my head. So then the workshop will be on and people will come in and get into the zone. I do things to get people in the zone. Some of you probably laugh at, if you've attended before, you probably know what I'm talking about. Which is just, I love doing that. I think we have to get people out of their heads and into their hands and get people present. And you've got to do that at the beginning of anything when you're collectively teaching a group. Then the workshop is usually finished within like a 2 to 3 hour time slot, depending on what we're doing. And I'll say goodbye to everyone, clean up and reset the studio. And if it's an away workshop, like I'm traveling to another rural community, I just add some driving hours onto that and maybe like an overnight stay, depending on where I am and how far it is away from home. So that's pretty much what my days look like when I'm working on the Pink Galah. And it's a two-part answer because I'm at home mostly when I'm organizing and scheduling, and everything you see online is happening pretty much when I'm at home, and then working on weekends. So I'm extremely grateful and like super proud of where I am right now in my little business. And I just, it's so nice to look back and see the growth and things too. My business looks really different to when I first started, and I know in myself I'm actually different too. And I've always been a confident person, like sort of. I actually believe that being confident is a learned skill. One that I think I learned pretty early in my life with growing up in a quite a loud family. My family's quite large. My mum is one of 7. My dad's one of 11. And I think just like talking and communicating, it's just in my genes. I don't know if anyone knows my grandfather, but his name's Pip Hudson. He's a famous Australian sheepdog trialer. And he's just known for his yarns and being confident with people and loving people. And I think a lot of my family members are a lot like that as well. Like they don't mind doing public speaking or communicating with others. So I never really had that issue, but it's definitely my confidence within myself, within my business has grown so much from the beginning days, because I know that when I was when I first started, I remember getting like quite hot flushes and like worry sweats and going over the steps days in advance in my head so I didn't teach the wrong thing or make an error. I was so worried about what people thought of me and my art and the experience that is the Pink Galah. I didn't have a studio when I first started. I was fortunate to my local rugby union club allowing me to hire their clubhouse throughout my early days to provide my business to my community. And I would hire out venues in other towns when I was on the road. People didn't really know what to expect in my early days either, and so getting the word out in the early days was quite hard because it was kind of a new thing to the areas I was going to. And I just kept going and I worked almost every weekend. So I just kept pushing forward. I didn't have the best equipment, but what I did have worked, and it just enabled me to grow even more. So again, just start small, start where you are. Now you'll see, so now if you're looking at now, the difference, I guess one of the biggest ones is I have my own studio in my local community, and it's such a beautiful space, which I'm so fortunate to have. And it allows me just to run the business a lot more smooth because I can set up in advance and I can store all my things and I can have a look, you know, I can have it looking the way that I want it to look and really reflect my personality. I don't think we should ever look at someone's business, especially if they are a few years in and we're just starting, and think we need to be there, like we need to be looking like they are. And it just takes time. I just think everyone needs to remember it just takes time, and I'm still not where I want to be. I still have goals, but I just know it's the journey that is so worth it. Like it's all of the stuff to get to that point. And in the last 3 years for me, just to be where I am right now is just incredible. The next question I ask women in these interviews is, how do you manage to start and succeed in business in a rural area? And what challenges did you face? And My answer to that is living in a rural community is actually really special, and people are really eager to support you. Even if they aren't able to buy a ticket to a workshop, they will share your ads. They'll tell their friends to come. They'll share pictures of what they do during a workshop. Like, the list goes on. Like, word of mouth in rural communities is really important. And I actually think I put my success down to having a really supportive community, and that is the truth. Like, that's the honest truth. If I didn't have those women in my early days just taking a leap of faith and buying a ticket, I wouldn't be where I am today. Like, it was those early days where people just trusted me, and then through that trust I could show people what I do and the importance of it, and really make people feel the benefits as well. So I'm so grateful to those women in the early days, and I always will be. And this is why I like to give back. I sponsor local sporting groups like the Cobar Rugby Union and Women's Netball. I donate gift vouchers to local school fetes, local race meets, local fundraisers. I don't know, I do discounts to my workshops when I can, do giveaways to local. It's important to remember those who lifted you when you first started. I'm going to be eternally grateful to Cobar and the support of everyone who has engaged with the Pink Galah, whether that be attending a workshop or just spreading the word. Some challenges I do face in this business are just like, they're things like freight and getting my hands on the materials I need in my job. If I run out of something, I just can't operate. So I'm constantly checking on my supplies and ordering everything in advance. And I think it's probably one of the biggest things I face. Like, I can't just duck down the road. Down the road for me is a 6-hour round trip to get anything. So yeah, you've got to be pretty organized when you live in rural communities, especially if you need things for your business. Was there ever a time when I wanted to quit? Yes. There's been a few specific times throughout the last 3 years. I would say that my times, like, I would say maybe one or two, that I've wanted just to throw it all in. One time when I really burnt myself out, I was like still, like, my third baby, he just didn't sleep. And so I was working as assistant principal, as starting my own business, still breastfeeding, still like two other children as well. It was just a time where I really burnt myself out. And I look back now and I was quite thin, and I just was not operating well because I was pushing myself. So I just took a step back for a bit and I worked through all of that. I just had to sit back, and I obviously let my job go as assistant principal. I took 12 months off. So I, from teaching, and just focused on my family and my business. And this business just means too much to me to let it go. So yeah, I just took a step back when I had that bit of a burnout time. Another time that stands out for me in the last 3 years was I found myself in a bit of a prickly situation, actually. Being me, I sometimes just trust a bit too easily and am eager to help others because I just genuinely think, yeah, like, it's good to help others. What goes around comes around. And mid-year last year, I had someone reach out to me to let me know that I'd inspired them to start a similar business. To start a similar business to like my own in their local community. So I've inspired them to start something similar, and to which my response was like, yeah, you're like, go for it. So supportive. And I even like offered advice and whatnot. And this person then took like actual words, my entire FAQs from my website to be exact, and pretty much mimicked my business model with a new name. And I guess, you know, throwing in their own name here and there, and just didn't like used my business as actual inspiration and not actually spinning it, flipping it and making it authentically theirs. I had to confront this person, and it just wasn't a nice experience or one I would wish on anyone. To have your words and hard work shown as someone else's was pretty tough, and I wanted to stop my business at that time because I was just sad. Like, sad that someone I had offered my support to, you know, kind of used me a little bit and my business in that way. It was just, it was personal for me because this business is so just like, it's just ground from the ground up, just me. I've just, you know, and like most businesses are, you know, and so I ended up just taking some time off. It was maybe a month or so from memory, and just working out ways to get through that and just kind of like, see, that's just life, you know. It really rattled me because my business is a direct reflection of me, and the effort I've put into making it what it is, it's just, it was a 24/7 job and I just never stopped thinking about it, which is great, but it's also exhausting. So yeah, going through that did make me want to quit. But I'm so glad that I didn't. I pushed through and I really realized the importance. Actually, it was such a great lesson to learn actually in my second year of business, was just to stay in my own lane and focus on what I do and don't worry about what anyone else is doing, even if they are, you know, taking things from you, just to move on, you know. Before I was in business, I'd actually had a lot of jobs. This is a question that I ask. I always ask people in this podcast, you know, what sort of jobs did they do previously or that they've got some really, really great skills from that they brought into their business. And so before I was in business myself, I'd actually had a lot of jobs and life experience. Before university, I took 2 years off school working in the local mines around Cobar. I worked in things like laboratory testing minerals and whatever came up from under the ground. I cut core samples with big saws in the geology department. I worked in property management, like looking after housing for the local mines. I worked in business improvement within mining and would go underground to do truck studies on loading times and the runnings of certain areas within mining. And I was like an 18-year-old girl and had zero idea. So it was great. Learning experiences, especially working in a male-dominated industry as well. During that time as well, I worked on the farm for my parents and I worked behind the bar serving bevs to locals. And so by the time I got to university, I just really knew what I wanted to do, and that was teaching. Which I have combined into what I do in the Pink Galah. Teaching is pretty much, yeah, it's like I obviously love, I'm an artist, I love art. I've combined my skills of teaching and my love of art into what you see here at the Pink Galah. So if you've attended one of my workshops, what you see there is pretty much what I'm like with the kids, except maybe not for the naughty jokes or swear words. Within my teaching job, I have been able to develop my skills even further. And I believe that all those skills in what I did in my teaching career, just like communication and the ability to break things down and organization and, you know, people skills, it's just all teachers need those skills to succeed in their job. And I think that's why what I do works so well. I think teachers are just so skilled. They, you know, they could do anything, honestly. The hardest part about being my own boss, though, this is a question that comes up in my WOW pod, but the hardest part about being my own boss is knowing when to put tools down. Like, as in, I get carried away and can work a bit much, like a little bit too much sometimes. So no one other than my husband tells me when it's time to have a weekend off or just to stop. I just want to be in it all the time because I really enjoy it, but it can burn me out. And being my own boss has actually taught me that I need to look after myself, and burnout shouldn't happen, especially if you want to progress. You have to manage yourself better. Being your own boss can be a bit lonely too. So I love having people to bounce ideas off. This is probably why I love collaborating with others and creating fun workshops with other creatives to work with, like someone every now and then. My favorite thing about being in business is having probably freedoms and the opportunity to have full control over how I want things to be and look and design just really cool opportunities for people. I like that you can see your hard work paying off, and it's just really rewarding personally and professionally. Making a difference in business as well, like being in business that counts, is also a big fave about being in business for me. I think just being able to change the community culture around, you know, art and well-being and using it to connect others, I think that's about probably one of my favorite things about being in business. What do I think makes a good business owner? Honestly, hands down, I think people skills. I think if you're in a service-based business in particular, you need to know how to talk to people, like understand how they think and cater to their needs, wants, and listen to them. I think it's so important to have respect also for others and show that in what you do. These are skills that make a difference in the quality of your business, I think, especially if you're service-based. I think you've got to have good people skills and like a genuine respect. Some big learning experiences I have learned in business, and I'm just going to throw these ones out here. I'm not going to go too much into depth, but some big learning experiences I have learned, probably that passion and authenticity wins every time. Not everyone will cheer you on, but not everyone has to. Find your ideal clients and do everything you can to cater to them. Maybe also don't be so trusting. Not everyone that comes off trustworthy is. and lean on your support network. So talk things out. You don't have to have it all figured out all of the time, and just stay in your own lane. I think they're the key lessons I've learned during the last 3 years. Just focus on what you do and how you do it, and constantly want to be better than you were yesterday. So, you know, don't worry about what Joe Blow is doing. Just comparison is the thief of joy. So, you know, all of those things. That's pretty much my answer to that question. One thing I would never compromise on is being authentic and putting forward workshops that are mine. I think I've learned over time that people have loved my workshops more when the idea is really new and coming from something I have created from scratch. And it's important to remember that when designing something for others to paint, I think you just have to be as authentic and original as possible. And this can be tough, but having a clear conscience is really important to me. If I take inspiration from an artist, especially when I do things like in kids' workshops and things, I think it's really important that you must state the work or the artist that you are drawing the inspiration upon. I think I learned this teaching art in schools. You know, we learn about great artists and we recreate works in our own ways, but we would never call them original designs as they just weren't. And I just would never compromise on that. I think that's really important to me. Who inspires me? I have a few people actually, and for different reasons. Work ethic, I think my biggest inspiration is my dad. He is a farmer and he's just one of the hardest working people I know. He's also really humble and just gets up every day to achieve what he wants to do. Like, and he just genuinely loves what he does. Like, it just brings so much joy to him. Like, he's obviously been through tough times with drought and things, but he's just genuinely in love with what he does. And I just always wanted that for myself, was to find something that I love it so much, you know, and it's not a job. You get up and you do it because it's so, you just love it. And so that inspires me. My husband, he actually inspires me, and I don't think he'll listen to this, so it's all good. But he is genuinely one of the smartest people I know, and he's just so eager to learn. Like, he is constantly reading books. He just wants to absorb as much as he possibly can, and he's so curious about the world and how we can thrive within, you know, our own growth. And I've seen him grow from being I met him and he was a mining geologist when we first got together. But since then, like, I've seen him do another degree. He became a mining engineer. And he's now a mine manager, so he's worked his way up and through and he's now the boss. And I just find that so inspiring. He just always wants to do better and he just competes against himself. So I find that really inspiring. He doesn't worry about what anyone else is doing. My kids inspire me because they remind me of the true importance of life. They the biggest teachers. They've taught me so much patience and resilience and pardon me, unconditional love. My voice is going crackly because I'm getting emotional, but my kids, they inspire me to just do better every day. And I think people as well, like, I just listening to someone else's life story can really give me a boost, and you can gain so much knowledge from others. Oh, pardon me, I'm going so crackly. What is my definition of success? My definition is to create something, whether that be in business, in my art, or with this podcast. I just creating something, and I mean starting something from scratch and watching it grow into what you had hoped, I find that really successful. I also would define success as being able to spend your time doing something that fills you up. Success for me is seeing people connect, growing confidence within themselves, realizing that they're not alone, and just creating a community of support. I find that that's just success in my eyes. I really do. And I think that just using the time you have while you're alive intentionally and letting people know how much you love them is success for me. I'm very much connection driven, and success to me is having people I love around me and being a part of their lives. And I know that sounds really cheesy. I know it does, but it's true. And just to have a room full of people you love, I don't know, talking, spending time with each other is honestly my perfect idea of a good time. At what point did I look at my business and see it as successful? Well, I think after my first year in business, I genuinely thought this, not because I was raking in the moolah, because small business owners, we all know in the first few years, we don't actually get to see many profits. They go back into the business. But after that first year, I was just in a different position professionally and personally, and could really see that what I was doing was important. That's when I thought, yeah, this is good. Like, let's go for another second. Let's go for the second year. I can't wait to see what this could bring. What's one thing you would change about your business journey, or go back and tell your earlier self at the beginning of business? I think the journey is so important. So there's not much I would change about it or how it went down, because I learned so much from, you know, the ups and downs. But I think I'd just say, Sig, you're doing a good job at being a mum, and it's okay to want something for yourself and just go for it. You know, good on you. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. I think I'd just go back, and because I used to feel very guilty about creating this business whilst having small children, but I genuinely believe it's made me a better mum and a better person, because I'm giving myself something in order to pour into everybody else around me. So yeah, I think I'd just go back and say it's all good. Where would I like to see myself in 5 to 10 years? Well, this is an interesting one for me, because I'll actually, in 5 years, I'll have all of my kids at school. So I'd say more time making art for myself, not just for the Pink Galah business, you know, selling art that I just genuinely create for myself. And I'd love to get, you know, my art out there. I think just getting known would be a huge goal of mine in the next 5 to 10. I'd like to see the Pink Galah grow even further through being able to access more rural areas. So, I don't know, maybe even do some big crazy murals and collaborate with more businesses to provide different experiences. And I think just to be doing what I'm doing now, and it's still being something that people value, you know, that's the dream for me. 5 to 10 years, that'd be excellent. If I could, I'd just do this until I'm grey and old. So we're going to jump into the fast five that I normally do at the end of each podcast for myself. It feels so odd doing this and interviewing myself, but what is something I'm curious about right now in business? Well, I'm actually really curious about AI and how I can get it to assist me within my business. I'm really fascinated by it, and I've just actually just started learning. I did a course last week and I've just been looking into things. AI in business. It's a weird world we're moving into, and I'm just very curious about it. What am I currently working on in my business? I'm actually creating a bit of a pop-up bar for events within my studio. Still trying to get that off the ground. It's just time consuming. Trialing some new ideas for workshops and designing workshops for other businesses. I'm also working on bringing what I do into new spaces. I'm collaborating with some new businesses over the next couple of months, which is exciting. What is your favorite thing about the Pink Galah? Look, my favorite thing about the Pink Galah, I honestly would have to say, is just meeting new people. Like, I love it. And I love talking with other rural women. I love seeing how people leave so happy and their cup being refilled. I love how the Pink Galah has just been able to change someone's day and the way it can bring people together. I love how the Pink Galah has just been able to allow for self-expression and well-being. And there's many things I love about the Pink Galah. She's my baby. I joke that she's my daughter because I don't have one because I've got only sons, but I have so much pink and it's colorful in my studio that I truly feel like it's another child for me that I tend to on the daily. You know, it's another baby for me. What is something I used to care about that I no longer care about in business? For me, probably is just creating artworks. I don't care anymore about creating artworks to get people in the door that aren't coming. So what I mean by that is I've been told in the past that I'm too colourful and crazy and that people just want neutral and a bit more calm. They clearly haven't been before, because if they want neutral, they can totally have neutral. My designs allow for total freedom and flexibility, but at one point I was designing artworks for clients that I couldn't get in the door. Like, I kept thinking of people I wanted to get in there and just show them that it was for them. And I quickly worked out that that was all wrong for business. Like, that was not how you go about it. I needed to focus on the ones that were coming and focus on what they loved about the Pink Galah. And once I figured that out, I stopped caring about making art that appeased to everyone. What's something I would recommend for you to listen to, watch, or read? For me, I think, like, I truly love personal development, and look, I love, you know, just listening to stories, and I love being like thinking about the fact that we are lifelong learners. So anything around that is a goer for me. I also just love movies that are inspirational. One that can pop into mind, maybe something like, I don't know, like The Blind Side, you know, like focusing on the fact that where you come from doesn't determine where you're going, and if you want it enough, you know, you make it happen. Stuff like that. I love movies like that. I don't watch anything else but those types of movies. I just love anything that gets you fired up about loving more and following your dreams. So I would obviously also recommend the Wow Pod, because, yeah, well, I know the girl who started it and she loves doing it. I think that's pretty much all the questions I usually throw at the women in these interviews. So it's a lot. I'm sorry I've kept you for so long, but I wanted to just be real and as honest when answering these, just like I expect my guests to be. So thank you so much for getting through that. I'm going to quickly just touch on the Wow Pod before we sign off. So now, without going over all the questions for the Wow Pod like we just did for the Pink Galah, I just want to add some things in today that you may not know about the Wow Pod. And that would be that, here's a little insight goss for you. My podcast music was actually written by an ex-student of mine who I taught in year 4, 5 and 6. And this is a great way to make me feel old, because now they are studying in Melbourne and they're studying music, which is incredible. But I knew how exceptionally talented this person is, and I have stayed in contact with this student of mine, because I was just so invested in their schooling journey and them as a person. And I felt like a mum knowing they have followed their dreams, you know, studying music in Melbourne and following their passions. So I reached out and I asked them to create a music piece for me for the Wow Pod, and I explained what I was doing. And it just makes me so proud, because I've watched this person become who they are, and it's the reason why I love teaching. And being able to make an impact on someone's journey within their education is just so extremely rewarding. And I did pay for the music as well, actually, to be made. And I said to this ex-student of mine that when they're super famous one day for their music, which I know they will be, I can say that I paid for their services in their early days to create music for my podcast. So that'll be my claim to fame. And if this beautiful person is listening, you have no idea how much your music as a podcast intro means to me. So thank you. That it's just a little bit of insight goss about my podcast music. And I also want to add about the Wow Pod is that I had zero idea as to how I was going to keep up with the demands of podcasting and the work that it actually involved. But I have learned so much about behind the scenes. Obviously, you know, I'm self-taught and it's worked so far, so I'm going to keep rolling with it. Purchasing all my equipment took a long time to research. I didn't have anyone to ask about this, as I don't personally know anyone podcasting. So what you see here, what you hear here, is the result of me giving it a crack and hoping for the best, just like we have told all of our listeners in these interviews. You've just got to start somewhere. I have met so many incredible women and have been able to make new friends in the process here at the Wow Pod, and it honestly, it has exceeded all of my hopes and expectations, and it's truly created a whole new community of people around me. And I'm so grateful to every woman that said yes to being interviewed, your faith and trust that I would do you and your business justice in representing it the way you want has given me so much. So thank you for trusting me, especially to the girls who were up first and had no idea I was going to run this show. So thank you for just, yeah, trusting me again. And some common themes I found throughout the first season, honestly, come down to this, and it's living rurally does provide many opportunities. You just have to look at them with a different perspective and gratefulness, and small communities rock and are so supportive, and the best way to start a new business is just to start, and life is messy and don't expect too much of yourself. Just do what you can and make it work. If you love what you do, it truly makes all the difference, and that is a common theme here on the Wow Pod. Everyone has a unique story as well, and no two people are alike. And this is what I love so much about the Wow Pod, and it's exactly why I started. I wanted to learn from others, share what I find, and support women doing incredible things in rural Australia, sharing their story, helping others to find out about what they're doing, and inspire us all to follow our dreams. And that's what the Wow Pod's about. It's just starting something, trying something new, or thinking in a new and different way. So I want to end this season, guys, by just saying that I want to express my deepest gratitude for your support with this podcast. It's been a really rewarding experience and only cements the importance further for me that we really do need to value the importance of human connection. It is through our connections that we find strength, we find empathy and a shared sense of purpose. By reaching out to one another and extending a helping hand or fostering a genuine understanding, we can create a ripple effect of positivity and change within our rural communities. So supporting one another is just not, it's not just an act of kindness. It's a reflection of our shared humanity, and each person we uplift, every person we inspire, contributes to a collective journey towards a better world. I do believe this. And here on the Wow Pod, we can actually build community where compassion triumphs over indifference and where the power of connection shapes the communities we live in. Thank you so much for listening to each episode, and your presence and your engagement are a testament to the value you also place on human connection and the importance you recognize in supporting one another. Let us carry the spirit of these stories, of all of these amazing, incredible women from season one, beyond this season, and share what we have learned about some of the small businesses that we have featured here on the Wow Pod so far. Let us really embrace the power of human connection in our everyday lives. You know, seek opportunities to uplift, inspire, and support those around us. Together, let us create a community here on the Wow Pod where every rural woman in business feels seen, heard, and valued. Thank you again, and I can't wait to share all of the Wow Pod goodness with you again in season two. Don't forget to follow the Wow Pod on Instagram and Facebook to keep updated with any news, and please share your experience of this podcast either on our socials, on whatever or wherever you get your podcasts, and find the review section or flick me a DM. I'd truly appreciate it. I hope you enjoyed our last episode of season one here on the Wow Pod. Keep being purpose-driven, doing what you love for those who love what you do, and I'll see you on season two here on the Wow Podcast. See you guys.